Hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
They're playing back.
The National Basketball Association's regular season comes to a close later Wednesday night, and the spotlight will be shining on two California cities. In Los Angeles, superstar Kobe Bryant will wrap up a great 20-year NBA career when the Los Angeles Lakers host the Utah Jazz. It's been a bittersweet final season for Kobe. The Lakers have been one of the NBA's worst clubs, with a record of 16 wins and 65 losses. Meanwhile, in Northern California, in Oakland, the Golden State Warriors will go after their record-breaking 73rd win of the season when they host the Memphis Grizzlies. Led by reigning league most valuable player Stephen Curry, the Warriors have equaled the 72 victories achieved by the Chicago Bulls 20 years ago. But let's get back to Kobe Bryant. Shaquille O'Neal won three NBA championships with Kobe on the Lakers and is now an analyst on Turner Network Television's broadcast of NBA games. During a recent TNT show, Big Shaq reflected on Kobe's legacy.
Number one, the greatest Laker player ever. It was amazing that he played one franchise for 20 years, did it his way, accomplished everything he set out to accomplish. Remember when he first come in, he said he wanted to be better than Michael Jordan. Like, young fella, hold up. But, passed him up in points, one championship less than what Mike has. But, to be the greatest, that's an amazing accomplishment. They got Kareem, they got Wilt. They got Magic. So, I think him going out as the greatest Laker ever and going out the way he did, I think it's, a remarkable. Especially a guy that didn't go to college, came from high school. And to accomplish all that coming from high school, not going to college, I think is great.
Shaquille O'Neal talking about his former Los Angeles Lakers teammate, Kobe Bryant. During that same TNT broadcast, Hall of Fame basketball player Charles Barkley had this to say about Kobe.
The one thing about sports is the ultimate competition. You're competing against other guys. He's been the ultimate competitor. It's been a privilege and an honor for me to watch him play. He came in, he struggled in the beginning, then he turned into one of the 10 greatest players ever. He's an interesting guy. In our regular life, people are like, well, how is this guy? And I can honestly say, I met Kobe probably 10 times in my life. He's always been cordial. He's always been somewhat friendly, but I don't know him at all. I think he's been distant. I think it's been fun watching him let people see his personality this last year. But the bottom line is, he's just been one of the greatest players ever, and it's been an honor and a privilege.
Joining us once again in our studios is VOA's Rick Narcisse, who recently wrapped up his basketball career at Marymount University. Rick, welcome back to the sunny side of sports.
Glad to be back, Sonny.
Rick, we heard Charles Barkley say, I don't know him at all, talking about Kobe Bryant and his personality off the court. How would you describe Kobe's personality away from the game?
As a basketball fan outside looking in, I could see why people would say Kobe is distant. A competitor like him comes around once a generation, and he keeps his distance so that no one will ever know his weaknesses. And playing against somebody who has no weaknesses is probably the most frustrating thing that could happen to you in basketball. Like, he can't miss layups, he can't miss jump shots. Like, what do you do with him? He's just a problem.
So maybe that guarded personality was intentional, that he didn't want to, you know, allow some of his secrets to his opponents.
Yeah, he had a Muse interview where he, his documentary where he talks about his career and everything that he's done. And he said that, "I wanted everyone to think I was Superman and not Clark Kent." So around his teammates, when he was on the court in the locker room, everyone would see him as Superman, indestructible, and so no weaknesses.
Rick, in terms of everything that Kobe has done, what do you think are some of his biggest career highlights?
Team-wise, I would say definitely the five championships. That's like one of the greatest things in basketball. That's one of the highest levels. So winning five championships is unheard of. And my team in the summer, you know, I played in the men's league and we won the championship and we were really happy about that. So I could only imagine how it feels to win an NBA title.
Getting back to Charles Barkley, Rick, he described Kobe as one of the 10 greatest NBA players of all time. Do you agree with Barkley?
I would definitely agree with that. Kobe is the Lakers' all-time leading scorer, and he's the NBA's third all-time leading scorer. So if you're able to do that, you have to be considered top five, if not top 10.
And I'm thinking what Shaq said about Kobe being the greatest Laker of all time. The only player I think that maybe compares with Kobe, Magic Johnson, who also won five NBA career titles. I look at Magic's career. He had Larry Bird as his ultimate rival or competitor. Did Kobe have that when he played? I mean, it seems like he really didn't have that arch rival, so to speak.
Yeah, he never really had an arch rival. I feel like it was mostly him just chasing Jordan for most of his career, just trying to match his championships. And he eventually passed him in scoring. Now Jordan is fourth and Kobe is third.
We wish Kobe Bryant well as he embarks on a new career outside of basketball. And further north from Los Angeles in Oakland, California, Rick, Golden State Warriors chasing history tonight, going for their 73rd win of the regular season. Getting back to Michael Jordan, his team 20 years ago won 72 games, and the Warriors have equaled that. I'm going to put you on the spot here, Rick. Do you think this Warriors team could beat Michael Jordan and that Bulls team of 20 years ago?
Absolutely. with a player like Steph Curry, you don't really have an answer for him. The guy averages 30 points a game, 6 assists, 5 rebounds, while shooting 50% from the field and 45 from three. There's no answer for him. The league has never seen a player like Steph Curry.
Unbelievable shooter, Rick. And what about the comparisons between Steph and Kobe Bryant? Do you see any similarities in their games?
Definitely. They both have a killer instinct, and they just want to win. They actually share a record. They have the most threes made in a single game at 12, Kobe and Steph, along with Donyell Marshall.
Okay, all right. I guess we sometimes lose track that Kobe, just a great outside shooter himself during his career.
Kobe is a very good shooter, but he also takes a lot of shots. He actually leads the league in most field goals attempted and missed, I believe.
Let's get back to the Warriors, Rick. Over the weekend, they beat the San Antonio Spurs in San Antonio. That was the first home loss for the Spurs this season. Psychologically, do you think Warriors now sort of they have the advantage on the Spurs by beating them on their home court?
They have the advantage, but they're coached by one of the greatest coaches of all time, and Greg Popovich, and they have one of the best defenders in the game right now, and they're still the Spurs, so you can't really count them out at this point. But I mean, the playoffs should be a lot of fun this year. You should see what happens.
A lot of fun. And as we look forward to the playoffs, Rick, they officially tip off on Saturday. Do you see any team dethroning the Warriors at this point?
I actually don't. I'm really hoping for it. You know, I'm a big LeBron fan, so I'm really hoping for a rematch of the Cavs-Warriors this year, where my Cavs get the W in the championship game.
As we talk about Steph Curry, Rick, do you think he's kind of redefined the three-point shot in terms of distance, accuracy, all of that?
Well, Steph definitely changed the game. I think kids go to the gym nowadays, instead of, you know, going to work on layups or anything, they're going to go to run to the three-point line and just chuck up threes. And speaking of chucking, Steph Curry's 8 three-pointers away from 400 threes in a season.
Incredible.
He set the record. He was the first player to ever have 300 threes in one season, and now he's 8 away from 400. He said, if I get to 399, I'm chucking. That was his quote.
So he's going to go for 400 then.
I really hope so, but he only has one game to do it in the regular season.
VOA's Rick Narciss chatting basketball with us here on the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks for chatting with us, Rick.
Thanks for having me, Sonny.
Follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny, and my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. If you go to my Facebook page, you'll see a nice photo of Portugal and Real Madrid football star Cristiano Ronaldo sliding on his knees into the corner of the pitch, celebrating his hat trick Tuesday against Germany's Wolfsburg. Real needed all three of Ronaldo's goals as they were facing a 2-0 deficit in the UEFA Champions League quarterfinals. But thanks to Ronaldo's hat trick heroics, Real Madrid prevailed 3-2 on aggregate to book a place in the semifinals. Sammy Ejike, writing from Benin City, Nigeria, saw the Ronaldo photo and responded, "Sonny, that's my man. That's my man, Cristiano Ronaldo." Austin Mwenda, no address given, wrote, "Two great goals by Ronaldo. What a player he is." In Tuesday's other UEFA Champions League match, the Belgian Kevin De Bruyne sent host Manchester City into the semifinals for the first time. De Bruyne scored in the 76th minute to secure a hard-fought 1-0 victory over Paris Saint-Germain. The clubs had drawn 2-2 in the first leg. In quarterfinal matches Wednesday evening, Portugal's Benfica will host Germany's Bayern Munich in Lisbon. And in an all-Spanish matchup, Atletico Madrid will host Barcelona. Barca got two goals from Uruguayan star Luis Suarez to win the first leg 2-1. And Bayern Munich won the first leg at home against Benfica 1-0, getting an early goal from Chile's Arturo Vidal. Amnesty International recently came out with a report harshly criticizing Qatar for abusing migrant workers who are building the Khalifa International Stadium in Doha for the 2022 World Cup football tournament. Henry Ridgewell reports from London.
Amnesty's report is based on interviews with over 130 migrant construction workers building the Khalifa Stadium, most from Bangladesh, India, and Nepal. They allege widespread abuses, including squalid accommodation and working conditions which amount to forced labor under international law. The interviews are voiced by actors.
The salary is $200 per month. It is not enough to cover my living expenses, my debt for the recruiter fee, and to send money home for my family.
Many workers say they had to pay large fees of up to $4,300 to recruiters in their home country. All but six said the salary was less than promised, in some cases by half, and sometimes they weren't paid at all. If the workers complained, they said they were threatened with deportation or withheld pay.
If I lose this job, they will throw me out of the country, but I will still have a huge debt to pay.
Amnesty says conditions have improved in the past year, but singles out Qatar's so-called kafala employment system as the main problem.
The system gives employers excessive control over their employees. In particular, they have the power to deny the workers the ability to leave the country or change job.
Qatar insists it is working to improve conditions for migrant workers, such as introducing a wage protection system. But Amnesty says it is not doing enough and wants football's world governing body, FIFA, to speak out.
In reality, we've seen very little concrete action, and by that we mean consistent, strong public support for reform in Qatar and genuine investigations into the conditions of workers on World Cup stadiums.
FIFA insists it takes human rights seriously and is working alongside Qatari authorities to improve conditions. Currently, around 5,000 migrants are working on World Cup projects, a number set to soar to 36,000 in the next 2 years. Henry Ridgewell for VOA News, London.
Mates, remember me? This is the old sports emperor with a red-hot listening tip. That's right, give a listen to my pal, the bright and lively sunny man on the sunny side of sports, right here on the Voice of America.
Hello, Africa. Dr. Larry Zamoja here, Chairman, Chief Executive, Sports Radio 88.9 Brila FM. Keep getting sporty sunshine with Sunny Young. We all do at Sports Radio 88.9 Brila FM, broadcasting out of the cities of Lagos, Abuja, Kaduna, and Onitsha in Nigeria, as well as the World Wide Web on www.brilafm.net. I tell you this. It's always as thrill, yes, as thrill, to remain on the sunny side on Brilla with Sunny. Keep listening, Africa.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way. It will keep on the sunny side.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the sunny side of sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Joining us once again on the sunny side of sports is Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Good to be with you.
Andrew, good to have you back. What's trending in the sports world on this Wednesday?
Well, hashtag Mamba Day. Of course, today.
Mamba Day.
Mamba Day is, the Kobe Bryant is known as the Black Mamba.
Black Mamba.
So
the snake.
Yes. So hashtag Mamba Day is trending atop Twitter because tonight he will play his final NBA game. Now, it's interesting. Hashtag Mamba Day probably would have been trending anyway, but it's actually a promoted hashtag being promoted by Nike. And of
course,
Kobe and Nike have had a long relationship. In my work here at Voice of America, working on social media, I've talked to representatives from Twitter, and I know that to sponsor one of these hashtags globally for an entire day can be hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars.
Wow.
So Nike is paying a lot of money to put Mamba Day up there to celebrate somebody who's probably made them billions of dollars, or at least hundreds of millions of dollars, with his endorsement and wearing Nike.
Now, Andrew, it seems like Mamba Day is trending across different sports today.
Absolutely. We're seeing it. I'm a big tennis fan, so I saw Victoria Azarenka. She put a picture up on Instagram. She said, I'm wearing my purple and yellow today in honor of Kobe Bryant. She put hashtag Mamba Day in her post. And then Rick just said he saw Rafael Nadal was wearing some kind of Nike and then a tribute to Kobe. And I think it's Monte Carlo Masters where he's playing.
Now, what about the broadcast of the games tonight? I know we got the Warriors going after number 73 and Kobe retiring his swan song Can we watch both games?
if you have a good TV remote and you can switch back and forth really fast, then you can watch both. But no, they, here in the U.S., ESPN, the sports network, is going to have on ESPN1, their kind of flagship station, they're going to have the Golden State Warriors game. On ESPN2, they're going to have Kobe's final game. So you'll have to switch back and forth. Maybe during the commercials, you can switch from one to the other. But people are saying that this kind of shows which ESPN thinks is more important. They think that Golden State going for this record is. Kobe, you know, certainly a momentous career, but one that he's played in this last season with the Lakers on a team that only has about 15 or 16 wins.
Yeah, one of the worst.
55 losses, one of the worst records in the NBA. So they're saying, well, there's going to be a lot of interest in seeing Kobe, but maybe it's not going to be as competitive a game. Whereas seeing Golden State win, it's going to be a good matchup, and everybody likes to see somebody win. So,
Andrew, I encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny, and my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. Send me your tweets about Kobe and Mamba Day. And what else is trending out there, Andrew?
Well, we talked yesterday about the NCAA, the college athletics here in the U.S., and how the players aren't paid. Well, they are starting to get paid today. We're seeing on social media, EA Sports, which is a video game company here, does these video games, NCAA March Madness, NCAA Football, and they use the names and likenesses of these players. Well, as part of a lawsuit, EA Sports is now starting to send out royalty checks to some of these players that they used in these games, that they use their likeness. So we're seeing players.
These are collegiate players?
These are former collegiate players.
Former collegiate players.
That were part of this lawsuit. It's been a number of years coming, this lawsuit. And they finally ruled on it and have now started sending out these checks. But you're seeing former players, you know, Jordan Cornette, who's a Notre Dame basketball player in the early 2000s, he got a check for about $485, ranging probably from, you know, a couple hundred dollars to $3,000 or $4,000 is what I've seen on social media. But these players are saying it's a great step forward. They're saying, finally, we're being compensated for our image being used in these games. And they're hoping that this leads to maybe more changes for future players. Now, a lot of these players, like I said, are former, so they're off either in professional leagues now or they've gone off to other careers. And it's the money is not so much the issue or the point of this. In fact, some of them are saying, yeah, it's only a, you know, couple hundred dollars. The bigger point is the fact that this is happening and this compensation, and that it might lead to additional compensation for these players.
In terms of other careers, Andrew, I'm going to put you on the spot. what do you see in the future for Kobe Bryant? Do you see him maybe staying involved in basketball in some capacity?
I think so. I mean, I know that Joe Torre, who was a longtime manager of the New York Yankees, great success there, left the Yankees, retired as manager, and now works for Major League Baseball as one of their, I think, executive vice presidents of operations, one of those lofty titles. I could see Kobe maybe doing that. I could see him perhaps working with the NBA in some capacity. I could also see him doing, in this day and age of social media, I mean, he could go out and be kind of a brand ambassador and just do these kind of sponsorships, and almost like what kind of David Beckham is doing. David Beckham goes out, he has clothing lines, he has, you know, things that he puts his name on that he sponsors, and he promotes all of this on social media. Kobe's a huge social media following, so I could see that too. I could see him, you know, lending his name to some products and maybe making some money of it for himself. And still, whatever he's going to do, he's going to be relevant regardless of, you know, he's off the court. His name will still be out there. We'll still be talking about Kobe Bryant for sure.
Michael Jordan has been retired for many years, and yet he still makes a lot of money with his Air Jordan sneakers through Nike. Do you see Kobe having that lasting impact post-career?
I think, as evidenced by this Mamba Day hashtag and how much Nike's invested to make that the top trending hashtag around the world, I think that relationship with Nike is going to continue, and they're going to do, you know, limited edition Kobe, you know, anniversary sneakers and gym shorts, whatever else. They're going to, you know, put all these things together for sure. He's going to stay relevant, and he's going to continue to be a big name in the sport.
Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew.
Thanks, Sonny.
And we'll see you on Thursday. And that wraps up the April 13th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger, VOA engineer Nick Ivanoff, and thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
22 years ago, one of the worst crimes against humanity in the 20th century occurred in Rwanda. More than 800,000 men, women, and children were systematically murdered during 100 days of unspeakable violence. The killings, deliberately planned and sanctioned by the ethnic Hutu-led government, began in earnest April 7, 1994, the day after a plane carrying the presidents of Rwanda and Burundi was shot down, killing both leaders. Ethnic Tutsi citizens, a minority in the country's population of about 7 million, were specifically targeted. However, politically moderate Hutu and ethnic Twa sympathizers were also killed. "We honor not just the victims," said President Barack Obama in a written statement delivered on the commemoration of the 22nd anniversary of the genocide, "but also those who risked their lives to save others, as well as the survivors who carry the memories of these atrocities." "It is important to mark these occasions in order to remind ourselves," said President Obama, "of our common humanity and shared commitment to protecting civilians and ensuring that mass atrocities of this magnitude never happen again." Over the last two decades, Rwanda has made progress in moving beyond these horrible crimes and in building a more peaceful and prosperous future for its citizens. The United States remains deeply committed to preventing the horror of mass atrocities and genocide from occurring again, and to continuing to work with the people of Rwanda and the international community to finish the task of bringing those responsible for those heinous acts to justice.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government. If you have a comment, please write to Editorials, VOA, Washington, D.C., 20237, USA. You may also comment and view all our current editorials at the VOA Editorials homepage, www.voanews.com/editorials.
Next time on Straight Talk Africa, we'll discuss the International Criminal Court and African leaders, as well as ICC's ruling on Kenya's Deputy President William Ruto. Tune in to Straight Talk Africa next Wednesday at 18:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
What's happening, Africa? This is Jackson Bungani in Washington, D.C.
And I'm Nadia Sami in Johannesburg, South Africa. Thank you for joining us on Upfront each Wednesday, 17:30 UTC, for a lively discussion on issues that are topical, challenging, and always engaging.
The show tries to capture that fundamentally aspirational nature of today's African youth. As you've noticed, right here on the show, we talk about everything. Nothing is off the table.
I am a social networker, often online. For me, it's all about making connections, meeting people.
Ooh, without my family, I don't think I would have been here today because they gave me a lot of support morally.
Can't AU, African Union, can these people really solve this nonsense of rigging election, brutality during what election violence, all this whatever?
Employment rates are climbing, so definitely there's less jobs in the market now.
Remember to connect with us on Facebook and on Twitter at Upfront Africa.
Hello, Africa. This is James Barty, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on the Voice of America.